Good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Anything Loud. My name is Ron Derby, standing in for Peter Bruce. This past week has been quite a big week political-wise in terms of quite a few senior people in the ANC have passed on, starting with Winnie Mandela, and was today's Zola Square. Ray, this generation that's moving on in the ANC, what do they represent? And like, can you give a story of these people that are now of the ANC that are passing on, and what do they mean to the country's to the ANC and to the country as a whole?
Yeah, I think the ANC is losing a lot of very, very high profile, very important figures, you know. I mean, I think Winnie Mandela was one of the largest liberation icons in this country. And for her to be gone now, you know, she was one of those people who would counsel the younger militant people within the ANC and actually keep them in the tent. And then Zola Skweyiya, who really was a towering figure. I mean, he was a minister in Mandela and Mbeki's cabinets, and he was one of those ministers that didn't have this taint of corruption and scandal around him, and he did his job. I mean, social grants, there was no social grants controversy while he was managing the show. So I think he's a massive loss, and an ambassador, and a very effective ambassador. So he's also a big loss. And I just think that generation is nearly all gone. And it does kind of loosen the ANC from its moorings, which could be a good thing and a bad thing. It could be an opportunity to reinvent itself as a dynamic modern party. But it could also lose some of that stature and gravitas without those figures around.
We see like Winnie's image now being used. You're wearing red today, Samuel. It was perfect. I come to you about this. The EFF, that supposed youth vote, has taken Winnie Mandela and almost they have their own memorial about her. They've taken that and almost kept her legacy alive as that, almost that youth vote, that whole.
Yeah, I think, I mean, as Ray mentioned just now, Winnie was one of those people that was able to actually have very good relations with young people, and young people who were at a point in South Africa's democracy where they were militantly questioning a lot of the decisions and a lot of the structures that had been put into place during the transition, you know, into a government of national unity. She played a very, very strong role. I mean, she took Malema virtually under her wing. And one might argue that it, you know, ultimately led to, you know, Julius leaving the ANC. But I think in terms of keeping him rooted in the ANC traditions, a lot of what the EFF says is, you know, grounded in ANC old traditions and policy. She was very instrumental in terms of doing that. I think it is also a shame that she found herself having to gravitate to rather informal sort of influence within the ANC. I think what we've seen happen to the ANC from about 2007 is a change in the type of people that they chose to lead. One might also talk about, you know, that battle within the ANC between the exiles and the inzals. But, you know, people like Winnie Mandela found themselves outside, you know, any sphere of formal influence within the ANC, but that didn't stop them from still using that social capital that she had amongst the young people.
Sekunati, your views on, I mean, lots of views on Winnie have been expressed over the past couple of weeks. What's your thoughts on her role within the country?
Look, Winnie's role is definitely, there's not much to be said other than Winnie, the freedom fighter that stood a lot of the time alone and indeed made a lot of mistakes, errors of judgment that were tragic, that seriously did compromise her stature. But her good by far overweighs whatever bad side she may have had. But it is Zola Skweyiya that I want to talk about. Ray correctly points out that there was no social grant scandal during Zola Skweyiya's time. Actually, let's take it a step further. There were no social grants before Zola Skweyiya. He came in and became minister, and the ANC directly attacked poverty in the black community.
But was he always a social element, or was that his last posting? I think he came in as something else and moved across.
He moved around a bit, but he came in and perfected what social grant that department was meant to do. And of course, it's costing you and I, the people that are paying tax, quite a little more than it should be costing us. But that's the price to pay for living in such a country with so much inequality. But he Zola Square is one of the most solid people. Not once had he ever been accused of taking a cent, at least to the best of my knowledge. He's delivered totally. When this government came in 1994, black people were getting paid their pension monies per quarter instead of per month. And that was one of the best equalizing things to do for the poor people, the old age, and then introduced this direct measure to attack
poverty. Which is a fair point to end that on, because now we're going to move into the past decade and go into this week's developments on Parliament, where the former president's son and the Gupta brothers were expected, and they weren't there. So, Sabelo, you from Sunday Times, and you've always been on top of the story. So, where is Dudu Zani, as well as the brothers we saw in Dubai?
Well, I mean, if you are to believe social media, and what is said informally by those that are in the correct places in government, these people are sitting, hiding away in Dubai.
Including the son.
There's been rumors here and there of him being somewhere in Southern Africa, but you know that stuff has not been substantiated. As far as we know and as far as we understand, they are all, you know, in the Middle East, trying very, very desperately to avoid any sort of thing that might see them travel down south.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's extraordinary because, as I understand it, these were subpoenas issued by Parliament. And there are legal consequences, you know, and
what
they're
are those
doing,
consequences?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, effectively, I mean, it's a contempt of court, you know, so it's not a major legal thing. But what you're doing here by avoiding these things is you're just compounding and increasing the burden that you eventually will have to confront. You know, I mean, you know, the old story about Capone was taken down for tax evasion, not for shooting dead hundreds of people, you know. So eventually, you know, you need to start complying with the law here, pitch up to Parliament and testify and start actually presenting your story, however, you know, flawed it might be, because at some point it's going to have to happen. You can't go back to India because India is now waiting for you
as well.
Dubai, you know, at the end of the day, Dubai is going to have to weigh up at some point its relationship with the South African government.
And the Indian government.
You know, what choice is it going to make when the Justice Department asks Dubai to help get these people back over here? So I think they're making a very big mistake in digging themselves into a hole.
Your favorite topic, go for it.
Ron, what this Gupta's saga says about the ANC, about the people of South Africa, about the government, this is not only biggest friends of the most recent former president, but it's his family too. Forget him now as well. He's in the past. There's a guy sitting
not
down the road.
Not quite in the past. He's still very shaking up stuff.
There's a guy down the road called Ace Magashule. Not so long ago, he was busy extolling the virtues of the Gupta, a decent, good business people. Can Ace Magashule still say the same? And by the way, these are now fugitives. Organized crime facilitated from right at the center of Luthuli House, the center of power. That's all it says. The ANC has to take total responsibility for this. Jacob Zuma and the Magashules and what's his name, Musebenzi Zwane, all of them, the Faith Mutambis, didn't put themselves in Parliament, at the Union Buildings at Luthuli House. They were sent there by the ANC, and the ANC did everything to protect them. They have to accept responsibility for this. And where are we as a country? 0% growth? 44% unemployment?
Some growth. So I guess it comes back to Ramaphosa and its renewal project. You were talking earlier on before the show started about SAA and the amount of cleaning going inside there. So is there some move to, especially in the SOEs, I mean, this is where all the rot really sits, and what the immediate emergency is for the country?
Look, there's good and bad.
Yeah.
Definitely the sort of movement you've seen by the Minister of Public Enterprises, Praveen Koran, with Danal, is showing you that there are definitely positives that are coming. Mm. I think they are probably going to make quite a lot more announcements with regards to companies like Transnet, you know, to extend it with regard to companies like Eskom. Mm. You're about to hear, I think, in this week, more announcements of more suspensions. As remember that Eskom board had said that one of the things they wanted to do was to be left alone, to just look at, you know, the recent years, look at procurement, look at who did what in terms of benefiting what organizations, what processes were not followed, and they're leaving no holy cows here. You know, they're starting from the most junior of employees right up to the level of any of those board members that are still left within Eskom. So expect to hear, you know, more major announcements. But what is worrying for me, and is something that I think we as a country need to start tackling now, is that as we sort of emerge from this period of chaos that we'd seen in our SOEs, more in particular in SAA, where you've seen the exit of Dudumiene from, you know, the organization, and the replacement, you know, of her with supposedly, you know, individuals that are of, you know, much high moral standing, high ethics and all of that. The indications I'm seeing at SAA at the moment are a bit worrying.
What's that?
Even though, you know, it comes under that pretext of rooting out corruption. And you know,
so what do you think is going on there?
Well, I mean,
what is it?
Look, what ought to concern is when you have a situation where the CFO and key individuals within that finance and procurement space are seemingly being moved out of the way. You know, a situation where you see that the executives at SAA have already had a very tense discussion with Treasury's Office of the Chief Procurement Officer over the fact that there have been instances where procurement rules have been bent.
Already.
Procurement rules have been, you know, been
all in the sake of fixing this business, right?
And I mean, this is all in that sake of saying that we are faced with that situation where we're bleeding
millions
every month.
But this is again a governance issue. But this is the governance.
You know, anyway. So I think the discussion we ought to have is: do we then accept that because it comes from a good place or comes from a good individual?
Okay. Thanks for that, Sabeto. We'll return after the break to discuss further. Welcome back as we carry on our discussion about the happenings of South Africans Incorporated of the past week. Sekonathi, now there's one interesting story that's about a break. I think it's Friday this week where we'll have potentially a new media listing on the JSE. The owners of Independent, Dr. Iqbal Serve's company, Sagamata, Explorer. And what are your thoughts on this new listing? I mean, there's lots of in the press of the past weeks about the strengths of this listing. Tell us what is happening, what's supposed to happen on Friday?
So Iqbal Saveh, who bought the Independent Media Group, is now cobbled together a company called Sagamata Technologies Africa. And he's going
the Amazon of Africa. Is it
that's what he said.
Okay.
There's a very low. Nobody actually tells you what the company does other than a multifaceted. Those big English words that I missed at the management school, at the business school.
Management school,
yes. But what's happening is that he's throwing in the operations of Independent Media in there, together with other things that he's still going to create. That they don't exist yet.
Yeah.
And then he talks about a pipeline of acquisitions. He talks about spreading these technology companies.
What money?
Is there money for these purchases? Wait for it.
Yeah.
We have not been told what it is that this business will do other than what Independent is doing. And the money and the acquisitions, we have not been told. There are talks with this one and that one just waiting to pay. 3 billion rand is what back? Must
so
be.
So this is a print media company.
It's a print media
company.
Which
been painted with all these ideas of what it may be, but like being dolled up basically for all intents and purposes.
For a listing, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's going to buy new assets, and these assets have not been identified. Yep. Not the owners of these assets have not been identified.
Okay.
What has been identified is the quantum of money that's needed. That's 3 billion rand, and the deadline to raise that was today in a private placing on the JSE.
Yeah.
Therefore, the listing will be Friday. If they did reach 3 billion rand, if enough people subscribe for 3 billion rand, shares at 39 rand 62 cents. Now, here's the trick.
Yes, bring.
That is exactly the amount of money that Iqbal Saveh needs to keep independent as a going concern. Otherwise, failing which...
So this company has been listed to almost save itself, not
is
listed
totally
for a growth
insolvent.
Story. This isn't...
There's no growth story.
This is
The company has been making losses for the past 5 years.
Yeah.
It's totally insolvent. 3 billion rand is what is needed as a cash bailout. So he has found, he says, investors between four and five companies. They have not been named.
Okay.
There's two fund managers from the United States of America who have committed up to 600 million rands each. What's needed, and that will be closed today, is 3 billion rand. If he's got 3 billion rand, the company has been saved. He will pay the PIC a coupon due and debt due in August and in September, and 3 billion rand is gone. But they released yesterday a pre-listing statement.
My question is, there's 3 billion rand they need to raise. Why can't the banks... so the banks are not lending them money, clearly. They can't.
There's no money coming from anywhere else but from new investors.
That's the only place...
The asset is worth 33 cents per share, according to a pre-listing statement, Sakamata.
And they want to list it at how much?
Yesterday.
Yes.
They are the net asset value is 33 cents.
33 cents.
Yeah, they are going to list it for 39 rand 62 cents. So Ron and his friends will bring 3 billion rand, buying 39 rand 62 cents per share. That Sakamata says is worth 39 cents.
On assets that haven't been clarified, what are they buying?
The only asset that is there
is going
right now,
yes,
the only tangible thing you are buying are the insolvent operations of independent media. They are newspaper assets that have been loss-making the past 5 years. And then once you deliver the money, he says he will make other acquisitions.
But it's also a comment, I guess we have to be fair about this, the comment about the health of the print media business, right, in South Africa, globally anyway, and how on the health of the print media business, just as a...
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it's a really tough place to be.
Yeah.
But it can be, you know, if you run a company with enough efficiency and with enough direction and enough creativity, and you establish online revenue streams, so as we have done, then you can start to see a future.
Yeah.
I think it's difficult. I mean, you don't ever want to wish anything bad on another media company, because that's the business that we're in. We actually want independent media to succeed. You know, it's a lot of daily newspapers. It's a lot of information that goes out that would disappear if that company were to sink.
How much does PIC own of independent?
It owns about 25%. So
it's another bad call. Huh?
Yes, they've totally lost the 2 billion rand they invested there. Anyway, if let's hope these investors will come in and pitch the 3 billion rand so that the PIC debt can be settled in August. If not, we are going to have an implosion in our hands. And indeed, of course, these are our competitors. They keep us healthy and make us better. We will be losing not only the hundreds or thousands of jobs that are there if it comes to that, which we should not be wishing upon anybody, but it helps keep us active and better.
For PIC not to realize this loss, could we find ourselves in a position where, you know, how in Lonmin, where the PIC became the majority shareholder, basically Lonmin belongs to PIC, the only way to save independent Sakamata would be a point where PIC becomes even a bigger shareholder in this thing?
There are two ways about it.
Yeah.
That's the shortest way,
okay.
But the easiest way is to convert the debt that is owed to the PIC and to the Chinese consortium into equity, so as to do away with the need to pay the 3 billion rand. put everybody in the same pot, which is shareholders,
yeah.
and rearrange the business and see. That would be taking out the interest payments. But is the PIC going to do it? It may not have a choice. There's no other way. If it doesn't do it, if he insists on getting paid, then it will be collapsing the company.
When it comes to our state-owned enterprises, there's one company that's kind of the news, but the CEO has never been at the helm. Dan Majila, how safe is he in this whole clear out of our state-owned corporations? I mean, these bets such as this and others, London example, where does he sit in this whole clean out of all SOEs?
Look, I think there probably will be some sort of scrutiny on the decision that had been made by the PIC. I think the independent Osegunjalo is one of many. There was there was also the funding of Eskom which raised the ire of many South Africans who felt that enough is enough with funding these SOEs. To be honest with you, I as you see the sort of my outlook on SOEs in general, it's hard to say right now where President Ramaphosa's mind really is in terms of the new dawn. Is it something that he's going to go with the whole hog, or is it where and when he sees that it's politically safe for him to act? And I think the PIC is probably one of those spaces with regard to Ramaphosa.
Okay. Moving on to another misbehaving corporate, Steinhoff. How much this week's news? How much was Christo Visser paid?
Christo Visser could actually just pay the whole thing.
The prepayment that he received of 325 million euros. This is for a deal that has not yet happened.
Over 3 billion. This year, as you say,
that's 4 billion. Right?
Yeah.
Now he can buy both Tiso Blackstar and Independent with that money. We've been told for over 3 months now that Christo Visser did not know what was happening at Steinhoff. He's just accepted, or he accepted in December, 4 billion rand of money that was not legally due to him at that very point. Still not due to him right now, because Steinhoff and Shoprite have not yet matched, or have not matched.
Do you guys still believe that Christo didn't know anything what was going on in the time? It was all just a show.
I've worked for a family business before.
Yeah.
Things that happen at family businesses are scary. Corporate governance is those soft issues until they become as hard as they are right now.
Yeah.
I do not believe that Christo Visser did not know at all. He may have overlooked one or two things that appeared insignificant at that time, including getting paid 4 billion rand.
Back to moving forward to this week's developments around the mining charter. We have the new minister saying next month it's all done and dusted, this charter, and the once empowered always empowered issue now being settled by the courts. How possible is that to happen? Like, how determined do you, when you read someone like
in 3 weeks?
The
guy comes in when did he become a minister? In February. And 8 weeks later, he will have finished a mining charter that would have been negotiated for 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
But you guys probably know better. I'm not as optimistic as Gwede Mantashe is. Definitely he wants to do the right thing, but it's not going to work because this thing needs to be renegotiated. He just thinks he's going to fix one or two things that Museveni's own had messed up.
Yeah,
it's this conundrum. I mean, how do you solve this thing?
Yeah.
So you set a certain percentage target for mining houses. They fulfill that target, but then the shareholders sell.
Yeah.
And now you're back behind. So do you have to then do it again? I mean, I think that's the I think his words were he doesn't see why they should be punished if someone sells their stake.
That's a different matter, and that is the once empowered.
Yeah,
the court settled in favor of the companies, right?
That is a fair position. Imagine if you were this mining behemoth who's struggling with a low platinum price, everything, you're not making profits, and you empower me and Sabelo to buy stakes here, and as soon as the next guy comes in and offers us 25%, you sell and go. Must the company again go back and find... People, this is the best way. Of course, the court has now made a decision. Great thing. But the big issue now is how can you negotiate a mining charter in too.
So the question is, how do you ensure there's black ownership, sustainable black ownership in mining? That's, I guess, fundamentally, until someone solves
that's
that.
It's very, very difficult.
It's very difficult.
Because you can't give people shares and not give them the right to
trade sell and trade them.
And not
trade them.
Give them dividends.
That's disempowering.
Exactly. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. So how do you sustainably ensure there's black shareholding in mining in South Africa?
But mining is no different to any other industry.
Yeah.
That's how... That's been the weakest part about black empowerment over the past 24 years.
Yeah.
Nobody has really been able to transfer the power or the empowerment to the people that needed it. Due to these limitations, how do you do it? We have still not found an answer, particularly in the depressed market.
I guess playing with shared certificates is not the answer, basically. Samuel, as we close off the show, let's talk. You're a Facebook guy. I know you're always on Facebook and stuff. What's your thoughts on this this past couple of weeks' drama around Facebook? And do you still trust Facebook?
Look, I think it's massive. I've never trusted Facebook to begin with.
Yeah.
So for me, this is something that has happened that I had been waiting for. You know, it has a lot of implications for that company. I think it could literally even affect its value.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could say it could actually destroy it. Mm. But I mean, if you think about how paranoid we are as people and as South Africans about our information and where our information goes.
Mm.
You look at the Poppy Act. We have legislation that locks.
Yeah.
The information that we keep, whether it be it on a cloud, whether it be it on one platform like Facebook or Twitter or whatever it is that we use. When you find out that there's stuff that is happening with it without your knowledge, it's quite worrying.
Right, it also affects WhatsApp, for instance. What's your take?
Yeah, I think it affects all big corporates that are transitioning into digital or have transitioned into digital. I mean, there was the example of Discovery.
Yeah.
Where some members were sent a mail saying, you're eating a whole lot of sugar.
Yeah.
Or you're buying a lot of sugary products.
Mm.
And then they apologized for that and so on. But what it revealed is that there's a lot of data that, is on the borderline.
So we're the products now.
Actually, you could be quite shocked to discover that Discovery knows what you're buying with that card. But you probably signed a contract in which you allowed them to do that.
Yeah.
So there's this sort of grey area that's got to be sorted out now.
Hmm.
And I think corporates will be very careful because the backlash from interfering with people's privacy could be a major factor going forward.
All right, thank you. Thanks again for joining us for this evening's show. Hope to see you next week. Good night.